that phrase, the guilty pair, bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. That image goes back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And just imagine their condition, their, even to me, their physical position when God came down and they ran and they hid. We talked a little bit about that this morning in our table worship. I was going to just continue one little thought this evening. Brother Tim is our main speaker. I'm the guest speaker. I'm the warm-up act, if you will. But, you know, we're looking, at least in the services that I'm having with the folks here at Watch Rock or wherever we may be, we're looking at some of the questions that God asked people. We talked last night as Jacob wrestled with that angel, which of course was the Lord, was God, if you read the story. That was no just mere angel. But that angel, as he wrestled with Jacob, he looked him right in the face and he said, "What's your name?" We talked about that question last night around the campfire. You'll have to ask somebody who was there if you're interested. This morning, we looked at the very first question in the Bible that God asks. There was another question that's a little earlier than this that was asked by the enemy. You know, Satan asks the first question in the Bible, but then God starts asking his own questions, kind of like he did with Job. He lets somebody else speak, and then he comes in, has something to say about things. But this morning we talked about when the Lord asked Adam and Eve, says, where are you? Where are you? Did he know where they were? Sure he did. But he asked them anyway. There was a reason for that. And tonight I just wanted to share one little thought with you, and it's the question that God uses as a follow-up to that question, where are you? When he finally comes face to face with Adam and Eve, that fallen pair, I wonder what that must have been like. But as God speaks to them, of course, they covered themselves. They tried to cover up, you know, like we do sometimes. Like, try to cover things up. Their righteousness with which God had created them was gone. They had forfeited that. They tried to cover themselves in their own righteousness, if you will, and it didn't work. It didn't work at all. But as God speaks to them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, which is the image, the picture that song, The Love of God, the guilty pair. Now, of course, there are many that's true of all of us. But my mind goes right back to that first couple, that first pair, the guilty pair, bowed down with care. And as God spoke to them, God questioned them. And God, of course, knew it all. He questioned them for their own benefit. But he follows up in verse 11 after Adam, of course, admits and says, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." But then God says to him, "Who told you that you were naked? Who told you?" You know, many years ago, there was a famous French philosopher. Around Christian circles, we're not too fond of him. He had some interesting ideas, but René Descartes had also some very strong atheistic leanings. But he had a problem. I hope this is a problem none of you have. But he fought so much, and of course, probably because he didn't trust God's word, instead put more faith in his own thoughts, he came to an issue that he had just couldn't quite solve. And it was, how do I know I really exist? How do I know I'm really me and I'm really here and I'm really alive and you're really you and we really are all here and we're not just in some kind of crazy whacked out dream? How do I know that I really exist? And of course, any of you have ever studied philosophy at all or any of those things, you know he came up with that famous Latin dictum because it sounds so much better in Latin. Cogito ergo sum. Doesn't that sound intellectual? You know what it means, don't you? How many of you here without saying it, no, without me translating it, know what it means? We got only a couple. Okay, we're going to learn some Latin tonight, all right? You ready? Cogito ergo sum. You all do know this, believe it or not. I think, therefore, thank you. I think, therefore, I am. The very fact that I can think, there's a famous professor, his name escapes me just off the top of my head. I heard Ravi Zacharias tell this story, so those of you who are familiar with Ravi's teachings may have heard him tell this story. He's a professor at NYU, and he was teaching, and he was in a philosophy class, and one of these young upstart philosophers, you know, he was probably 19. Once upon a time, that sounded old to me. Now, that's a youngin', a real youngin'. But one of those young upstarts raised his hand and said, "All right, professor, I hear all this stuff you're telling us, and I think that's great, but I got a question for you. How do I know I even exist?" And the professor looked at him over his spectacles, and he said to that young fellow, "And whom, shall we say, is asking?" Now, I'll let you think about that. If you don't get it, you think about that for a while. Whom, shall I say, is asking that question? Well, I think, therefore I am. How do we know what we know? How do we gather? You know, being in education, that's a big question. You know, how do we get kids to learn? How do we get them to retain? How do we get their interests? You know, how do we get them to take this information and apply it? And there's all kinds of ideas, and the pendulum swings back and forth and back and forth. And if anybody here is in education, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been in it long enough, we're on about the third backswing, and then we'll go back the other way as time goes on. But this leads, of course, to a study, a branch of philosophy known as epistemology. Anybody ever hear that word? It's a big word. Epistemology. And it means, pretty simply, how do we know what we know? How do I know what I know is true? Why do I think it is true? How did I learn it? Now, most of us never go that deeply in our thoughts, but if you're a thinker, you understand a little bit what I'm saying. How do I actually know? How do I know this? What's going on? How do I realize this? How does it become real to me? Why do I get it and somebody else doesn't? Or why does somebody else get it and I don't? That's usually how it works, doesn't it? Why are they getting it and I have no clue what's going on? I'm totally lost. Well, how do we know what we know? And I want to simplify it very quickly for you and bring it down to a Christian worldview. That's a word, that's a term that we hear a lot. And it's a good word. And it's one that we ought to be familiar with. I trust we are all, as you're here this weekend, that's going to be strengthened in your hearts and in your minds. But in a Christian worldview, we could boil this whole question of epistemology and how do we know what we know? How do we know it's true down to two basic concepts? And they are these. There are two truth claims in this world. There are two claims to truth. One is always right, and one is always almost right. Now, does anybody know where those two claims come from? One is always right. Now, those of you who are Christians should know the answer to that one very, very quickly. Because there is only one source of information that is always right, and who is it? It's God. It's God. He alone is always correct, always true. He is infinite in his knowledge. He is infinite in his power. He knows it all. Everything he says is always true. There is a second source of information which is always almost right. What is the source of that information? I heard it. Somebody, don't be shy. It's Satan. It's Satan. It's the enemy. Do you realize, and you know this, those of you who've been on the way at all, and even you young folks, I'm sure you're starting to figure this out too. When Satan comes to you, how does he come? Does he come spouting all kind of pagan and ideas? You're like, oh, get away from me. No. He comes as an angel of light. He comes with just enough truth to get most people to swallow it. Just enough. Oh, you know, that sounds pretty good. I think there might be something to that. But every time, what do we know about his words? He is the father of lies. And the best lies are the lies that are the closest to the truth, right? The closest to the truth. Now, why are we talking about this? Because Adam and Eve in the garden, in this perfect state, had one source of information. Who was it? God. It was God. Everything they had, everything they learned, every job that was given to them by God. And it was absolutely true. And then the enemy comes along. And what does he do? He poses a question. Did God really say? Did God really say? And that's not our focus tonight, but you know that story. Did he really say? And he planted just enough doubt in Eve's mind that they fell and they became that pair, bowed down with care. And as God speaks to them, he asks them the question, I'm just going to shorten it for a moment, who told you? Who told you? Now, did God not know who told them? Was God looking for some information? Was God playing the role of investigative reporter, of detective, trying to find out where they had gotten this information from? Was he? Absolutely not. God knows everything. So why did God ask them, who told you? Because he wanted them to realize where this had come from. It had not come from him. It had come from the enemy. It had come from the one who wanted to destroy God's perfect creation. He told them, you will come to know, you will gain the knowledge of good and evil. Was he right? Was he right? Come on, don't be shy. Even if you're wrong, that's okay. I'm not one of those teachers that any answer is correct, but was he right when he says, you will know, you'll be like God, you'll know good and evil? Was he right? Anybody want to amend your answer just a little bit? Exactly. You've been listening. He was almost right. They didn't learn good. Why not? You got it. They already knew good. They talked to God face to face. Is there anything gooder than that? No. What knowledge had they gained by disobeying God? This is where the enemy was almost right. They had gained the experiential knowledge of evil. Right between the eyes. And it marred God's creation. And God said to them, who told you? Who was your source of information? Just look at the source. And you believe that? They did. It's a pretty negative idea, but I want to turn it into a positive and be done. What's going to be your source of information this weekend? Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? There are a lot of voices out there calling to you. You may even hear a lot of voices this weekend. Good voices. But what is your ultimate source of information? You will hear voice after voice after voice after voice, and everyone will give it their opinion. Some of them may be great, some of them may be right, some of them may be dead wrong, and even more dangerously, some may be almost right. Here's what I'll leave especially with the youth group and with all of us. It's something Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He or she who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Is your hearing tuned to know the difference? Do you ever consider what is the source of this information? I want you this weekend to ask yourself that question over and over and over again. I know you're going to get lots of instructions this week, lots of help, great help. But I want you to ask yourself, what's the source of this? Am I just listening to Brother Tim? Am I just listening to Brother Isaac or one of the other speakers? Or do I have ears to hear so that I can hear what the Spirit is saying to me. God, what do you have to say to me? What are you saying to me this weekend or this week or this day or this night or just in these few moments? What are you saying to me? And when you do that, all of a sudden, the wavelengths, they just get tuned in and God speaks. You see, God speaks constantly. God speaks constantly. The question is, are you tuned in? Are you tuned in? Who are you tuned into? Tune into His voice. Hear His voice. Hear what the Spirit wants to say to you this week. Tune out that other voice. Reject it in favor of the one who said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And as you do that, God will minister to you and He'll work in your heart. Hear what the Spirit has to say. Let's just pray, shall we? And then I'm going to turn this over to Brother Tim. We'll perhaps sing a song and then we'll move on and you get to find out finally what your theme is. Father, I just pray for each one of us tonight, Lord Jesus, that we will tune into you. Lord, open the ears of our hearts. Open our eyes, open our ears. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We want to hear what you have to say to us. I know you have something very specific to say to each one of us. May we hear what you have to say. May we want to hear what you have to say. And may we reject all other siren calls for the true call, the one who is the truth, the way, and the life. Help us all, Lord Jesus. We know you have something special for each one of us. And so we pray that you will help us. Help us, Lord, because the voice that we trust will determine our destiny. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we sing that? Open my eyes, Lord. You know that, Brother Paul? I want to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus.